As I mentioned this morning, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. We'll start in our text, which is Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. And remember, we are thinking about our country today. We are thinking about all those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Let's remember them. And I hope tomorrow you will take time. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you should take a moment of time of prayer and thanksgiving for our fallen servicemen throughout the history of our country. And remember their sacrifice. And there is a cause, amen? There is a cause, there is a reason, there's a purpose that we would even fight, that we would even stand up for our country and the principles for which we were founded upon, for our family, for our loved ones, for freedom's sake. And really, what's going to give us strength as a nation is found in this verse. What's going to give us strength as a church is found in this verse. What's going to give us strength as a family is found in this verse. What is going to give us strength as an individual, as a Christian, is found in this verse. What does it say? Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's pray. Father, we pray tonight that as we look at this theme of righteousness in the book of Proverbs, that you will work in our hearts, that you would teach us, Lord, what is that path of righteousness that you want us on? What does that path look like? What should we be doing as Christians? What kind of influence we could make upon our nation if we are obedient to you? Father, we need righteous people in our nation. We need righteous leaders in our nation. And we do pray for our leaders that they would bow their knee and come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and receive him and honor him in their lives and honor him in their decisions and in our country. Father, we do pray for repentance, national repentance, a turning back to you and to godliness and to righteousness as a nation. Father, help us tonight in our personal lives to get a glimpse of how you want us to live and what you want us to do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this book is about wisdom. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And it's teaching us on how to handle more skillfully the affairs of this life. But we must not think that this wisdom is just a set of rules or collection of success formulas that anyone can occasionally apply as he or she pleases. You see, following God's wisdom is a full-time endeavor. His word must first work within our hearts and transform our character before we can become the kind of people that God can guide and bless. Isn't that what we want? God's guidance, God's blessing upon our lives. You see, you don't necessarily need godly character out in the world to make money. There's a lot of Hollywood celebrities, dishonest businessmen, deceptive politicians. They make money all the time, but they're not godly. They're not righteous people. But if you are concerned about living a life that pleases God, then you must live a life of righteousness, of godly character. You see, this explains what righteousness is. The word righteous you'll find over and over in the book of Proverbs. And righteousness these words, like just and upright, also can be used somewhat synonymously, interchangeably. So we see that in the book of Proverbs, just by a way of a broad introduction, that wisdom leads to the way of righteousness, as Proverbs 8:20 says. And in the way of righteousness is life, Proverbs 12:28. So wisdom leads to the way of righteousness, or the path of righteousness, and in that path of righteousness is life. That's where we find life. And then Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. When you live a righteous life and a life that pleases God, there'll be joy, there'll be gladness, there'll be blessings. And this is what we want. You see, the wicked have hopes, but they have false hopes. So it behooves us to examine our own hearts to make sure we're among the righteous who truly have hope, and that we're the kind of people the Lord can trust with his blessings. So number one, tonight, I'm just going to lead into this, into Proverbs, with this thought. Number one, the God of the righteous. What is, when you think of the words righteous and righteousness, upright, uprightness, in the book of Proverbs, this describes our conduct. And if we are going to be righteous, then we must conform to who? God. We must conform to God's standards. We must conform to God's character, because righteousness is his character. So we're not asking anything that's not achievable or that's impossible, because God wants to share his life with you. God wants to share his righteousness with you. Isn't that amazing? You remember in the New Testament, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the themes there is that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. You know, we're not going to enter the kingdom of God if our righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And what kind of righteousness they had? They had an outward righteousness. It was really a show. But they didn't cultivate inward righteousness. And that's what Jesus, remember, he gives the illustration that he says, thou shalt not kill. You've heard it in old time. But then he said, you shouldn't look on your brother with anger. You shouldn't hate your brother. That's as good as murder, Jesus said. And then he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You've heard that too. But he says, if you look on a woman to lust in your heart after you've committed adultery in your heart. So it's not this, don't commit an act of adultery or don't shoot someone with a gun. It's what is going on in your heart, what's going on inwardly. That's the kind of righteousness that must exceed this hypocritical and false righteousness of the Pharisees. And that's the only righteousness that will take us to heaven. Amen. Stepping back a few pages, are you in Proverbs? Go to Psalm 145. What does it say there in verse 7 about God? It says here, and they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and they shall sing of thy righteousness. A sing of his righteousness. Go back. Oh, 17. That's the one I want. Did someone say that? Go down to 17. 7 is good, but 17 is the one I want. The Lord is righteous, what? In all his ways. And holy in all his works. Amen. So that tells us about God. God's ways are righteous. God is righteous. And Psalm 11 says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Psalm 11, 7. There's a lot of verses here, so I don't want to give you, go to every one, or we would never get through this message. Then you wouldn't even have time to eat. You'd have to take it home in doggy bags. I don't think that's the idea, amen. God is righteous, amen. The Lord's, God's ways are righteous. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. Do we understand God's character? But God's word is righteous. Go back to Proverbs now, in chapter 8, verse 8. Proverbs 8. Not only is God's ways righteous, but God's word is righteous. Verses 8 and 9 says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. This is speaking of God's words. And so God's words reveal the God of the word. Amen. And so God's word is a reflection of his character, is a reflection of him, because they come from him. And so the word of God can be trusted as right and righteous, producing righteousness. Now think of all these other nations. They had their gods, did they not? They worshipped in temples, they had priests, sacrifices. But only the people of Israel, the chosen people of God, worshiped the living God who spoke to them and gave them his word. There's no other. These false gods, they didn't speak, they didn't give the word of God. They didn't give this the holy word. Only God has done that. But brethren, let's remember that the privilege of hearing God's word in America brings with it the responsibility of obeying his word. That's one thing we must understand in America. And I want you to kind of bear with me here as an illustration. But the messages I preach here would be too much for people overseas. They couldn't handle this stuff. Because they need simplicity. They need, basic truth. And the preaching that you may be used to and you've heard all your life, or you can search around and find great preachers and hear great preachers. They don't get that in other countries. And there's nothing wrong with what's happening here. But sometimes I just fear the messages that we deliver, the depth, the content, and where it takes us, gives us a greater responsibility in America. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not that they're not responsible. They're responsible for what they hear too. But there's countries around the world, Christianity's only been there 50 years or 20 years or maybe 5 years in certain places. So it's not like we go back, 235 years to something that we can go back and say, oh yeah, we've done this forever. But it makes us a greater responsibility in America. So let's remember, God is righteous. His words are righteous. His ways are righteous. But I like Jeremiah 9. Let's step away again. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is a great verse. It's one of these verses that you could just say, you know what? This is my goal, or this is what I want in my life. This is what I'm after. It says in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glorieth in this. What are we to glory in? That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You see what the Lord delights in? This is the Lord's character. And he says, I am the Lord. I exercise loving kindness. I exercise judgment. Remember, we talked about that in the morning. Justice and righteousness. And then he says, I delight in this. And he's going to delight in us when we exercise his holy character. Amen. You may question God's plan at times in your life. Some may even accuse him of being unfair. But nobody can ever succeed in proving that God has ever done anything wrong. He is righteous all the time. He is righteous in all his ways. He is righteous in all of his acts. He is righteous in all of his works. And God wants us to be righteous. But we have a problem. Go back to Proverbs 21 and 2. What is our greatest problem? And I look around our nation. What is our nation's problem? And we read it in our verse. Sin is a reproach to any people. It's sin. Our problem is sin. And the Bible tells us here in Proverbs 21, 2, about where everyone's at. Every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Isn't that how we are in America? Everyone is so proud. Everyone thinks they got a corner on the truth, that they know what's right. They know what's best. But remember this, the Lord pondereth the hearts. He's going to know your heart. He's going to know the truth about us. And that's what I said. You look through the book of Proverbs and you'll find this. Remember, we talked about the scorner. We talked about the simple. We talked about the fools. We talked about the slothful. You just start naming characters in the book of Proverbs. And one thing we're going to understand, this: there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. But God wants to call us, all of us, every one of these sinners, God wants all of us to be righteous. This is God's call. And the question comes, how can sinners ever be righteous before a righteous God? Well, aren't you thankful that God provides the way? God provides righteousness for everyone who truly comes to him in the way that he prescribes. And we know this, that, or we can ask another question, how can a guilty sinner ever become righteous enough to please a holy God? You see, God, being righteous, can only condemn the wicked and can only accept the righteous in his presence. But there's one problem. You can't make yourself righteous enough to be accepted. Because we are not made righteous by religion. We're not made righteous by our own works. In fact, remember what Isaiah said over there? He said, all of our righteousnesses, all of our best works, the best we have to offer, the best conduct, the best, you know, trying to serve God the best we can, is as filthy rags in his sight. And this is why there's only one way to be made righteous. It is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was sent to the world. The just who died for the unjust. The righteous died for the unrighteous. Amen. Jesus died in our place. And the judgment that was laid on him should have been our judgment. He took your judgment. He took your punishment on the cross. And God, the moment that we believe and receive Jesus Christ, God justifies us. God, and that word justify means to be declared righteous in the court of law, before God's court of law. We are declared righteous in the eyes of God. I like what Romans 4 or 5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's your faith that makes you righteous. Your faith, not just in anything. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith in the blood of Christ. Your faith in the death of Christ for your sins makes you righteous. And then, because we are saved, God allows us to understand righteousness, true righteousness. Go back to Proverbs, because now we get into Proverbs and we learn that there's a path. Not only the God of the righteous, but there's a path of the righteous. I know I'm going to probably have to skip over some things. Because there's a lot of detail in here. All you would have to do is get a concordance out and look up the word righteous in the book of Proverbs or righteousness, and you'd be like, oh, wow. How's the pastor going to preach all that? Well, I'm not. And everyone said, shame on you. All right. That was just a test. No. Proverbs 2:9. So once we are saved, look at what this verse says. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. Aren't you thankful what the Lord does for us? And when we go to the book of Proverbs, and when it starts talking about the righteous and about us, just let me give you a few examples. Go to chapter 10 and verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. See that? See that contrast there? You know, a righteous man is going to come into a situation and speak life, not violence, not hatred, not death. He's going to try to reconcile people to God. He's going to try to reconcile people one to another. Amen. He's going to speak the right things, the word of God, the truth of God that brings life. That's a righteous man. How about 12:6? The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. We're going to be about delivering people, amen, from destruction. Look at verse 17, same chapter. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. You know, when you get into this, you start seeing, listen, there's two paths. There's the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. Which path are we on? We need to know. How about 13:5? A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. How about 6? Because I didn't see that until I got a glimpse of that. It says, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. It just goes on and on and on and on. And I'm just getting started, by the way. go to 15, and we just, no, 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Amen. That's why I said righteousness exalteth the nation. Because God is going to pour out his blessings on the righteous. Brethren, Jesus even said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. What happens with us when we're right with God? Go to back to chapter 4 now of Proverbs, verse 11. When we are right with God, God will lead us into right paths. We can be assured of that. You see, we have to stay right with God. We have to be right in our heart. And God's going to lead us, amen, in that right path. It says in 4:11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Amen. How about 8:6? Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. And then in 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit. So God's going to be leading us even in our thoughts. And of course, we know what thoughts lead to right words, righteous words, and righteous acts, brethren. I'm not going to go there, but it's all spelled out in the book of Proverbs. Your thoughts are going to lead to what you speak, and then what you speak and how you are and how you live, the direction of your life, is going to lead you to righteous works. This is a path. That's the second point. The path of the righteous. The God of the righteous and the path of the righteous. And so when you read, if you're going to make a study, you can read chapters 2, 3, and 4 and try to learn about this path. We start just with one verse, chapter 2 and verse 20. Talks about this path, brethren. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep what? The paths of the righteous. Keep the paths of the righteous. You see, God is going to give us wisdom. God is going to protect us. God is going to direct us. God is going to perfect our path. It's as a shining light. It shines brighter every day. This is what God says about us. But what about the wicked? Look at verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. And so, listen, what are we going to do? We have two paths, amen. And that's where I'm looking, this ways of darkness, then jump down to verse 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. The strange woman. But God wants to deliver us. You may have some roads like this in Texas. We had roads like this in Africa, and we had roads like this in Chile. But there was a sign at one of the crossroads up in the prairies of Canada that said this: be careful what rut you take. You'll be on it a long time. That's life. Be careful which path you take. You will be on it a long time. There's only two paths. Jesus said in Matthew 7. There's the narrow gate, narrow path that leads to life eternal. There's the wide, there's the broad gate, the wide path that leads to destruction. This is the path of the righteous. This is the path of the wicked. We got to make a choice. And for that, I want to talk to you about a few things about this path. There's blessings on the path of righteousness, of the righteous. This should motivate us tonight. Let me give you a few blessings if you're on this path. Number one, you will experience God's direction in your life. Thank the Lord for that. Go to Proverbs 11:5. You know there's some key verses in Proverbs about direction. If you need direction in your life, if you need guidance, the Lord is there, amen. But it says right here, this is the saying, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. God's going to direct our ways. I like, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Amen. What a promise in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How many of us have turned to this promise, have sought this so many times? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. Amen. This is the path of the righteous. So God will direct your path. You know why? He wants us to know his will. He wants us to enjoy doing his will. He wants your life to be fulfilled. But know this, that God, Jesus said this principle, that only those who are willing to obey his will he reveal it to them. If God knows, why would God reveal to you his will when he knows you don't care about doing it? So that's what John 7:17, we're not going to go there, but Jesus made that principle very clear. So number one, God will give you direction. You will experience direction on this path. Number two, God will give you deliverance. You will experience deliverance. Go back to Proverbs 11. We looked at verse 5. Now look at verse 6. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver him. Deliver them. But the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. We're going to be delivered. Aren't you thankful for that? We're going to be directed. We're going to be delivered. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have trials or tests. Don't think that, okay, once I get saved, everything's perfect. No more sickness, no more trials, no more difficulties in my life. No, but know this, that everything that God allows in your life is for good. Amen. And that's what Romans 8:28 says. All things work together for good to them. Now listen, who love God. Who love God, not just everyone. Only those who love God will things be good. Because everyone else who doesn't love God is going to get angry and bitter at God for allowing things in their life. So let's not be of those who get angry and bitter at God, but love him. And then know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Psalm says this about the righteous. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. He will deliver you out of all your troubles. It's because we don't cry. It's because we don't call. It's because we're not willing to follow him. But if you are, he will deliver you out. Amen? Think about, and here's one thing about Christianity and salvation. Think about this. Since you were saved, think about all the troubles that God saved you from that you would have lived and faced had you not been saved. He delivered you out of all your troubles. Amen. When you get to heaven, you're going to look back and say, wow, thank God I missed all that. So God delivers us. God directs us. But aren't you thankful tonight? God provides for us. Go to Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 20. God provides if we're on this path of righteousness. And we're going to read 20 and 21. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, this is not to encourage you to follow the health and wealth gospel. Health and wealth and success gospel, or jump on that bandwagon. Because this is written to the Jews under the old covenant. And that covenant, as we know, many of the blessings, just look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In that covenant, and Israel, when they departed out of Egypt, in that covenant was material blessings. I can take you to Deuteronomy 28, but I'm not going to do that. But believers today, we go to Matthew 6 in our new covenant, and we know this, that he's going to provide a roof over our head, clothes on our back, and food on our table. And with such things, therewith be content. That's what it says. We're not promised riches in the New Testament and material blessings as in the Old Covenant. Isn't it nice when you know how to rightly divide the Word of God? It saves you a lot of disappointments and frustrations in life. Why can't I be rich? And why can't I have all these things? And why do the unrighteous prosper and I gotta suffer all the time? Well, just read the Bible. It tells you why. And you're better off for it. Because your reward is not of this world, it's in heaven, it's awaiting you. Praise God, amen. I like some of these verses. Look at Proverbs 16:8 about this. And we know what this means, don't we? We see this overseas a lot. In homes where there's just barely, you know, the kids may only have the clothes on their back, and I'm not joking. And this is most of the world, by the way. They may not even own a pair of shoes for their feet. But you know what? If they know the Lord, look at this verse, Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Amen. You know, it's better to be poor and righteous than to be rich and an abomination and wicked, far from God. Is it not? How about 13:31? Proverbs 13:31. And you'll be studying that all night because it's not there. 21. I read that wrong. 21. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Amen. You see, that's the real reward of being righteous, is when you are blessed spiritually, when you're blessed by what you're doing in the lives of others. And this leads us to the last point, the influence of the righteous. The influence of the righteous. This is what I'm talking about. Righteousness exalteth the nation, because the righteous people will have an influence on the whole nation. Are we in chapter 11? Go to 11. Look at verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Amen. Look at verse 30 of the same chapter. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. So we see, I want you to see some circles of influence of the righteous on the earth. And if we do this, this is what blesses our nation. Righteousness exalts our nation. We need righteous people for this nation to be exalted. We need it to be filled from corner to corner, east to the west, north, south, everywhere in our nation. We need righteous people. And we need righteous people according to God's word, not religious people. Amen. Because let me give you a few points here, and I see that I'm not going to be able to. Oh, no, I'm not, sorry. Number one, the righteous are blessed in their character, and we know that. We've already studied this. What does God do? You know, when you desire something from God as a righteous man, you want to change things in your life, I can take you to verses right here that God will grant you the request of your prayer. God will work in you by his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will deliver you. He will help you. You know, when you have when you delight in the things of God, and when you have a spiritual appetite, a godly appetite, you know what God's going to give to you? He's going to give you spiritual perception. He's going to give you the ability to see what's best and make the right choices. Isn't that a blessing? You're going to be able to walk with God. You're going to be able to have a holy walk. You know, it's not easy, is it, to be righteous? Because when you are righteous, you're going to increase learning. You're going to be given instruction. You're going to have great responsibilities. In fact, you're going to even get reproof. You know, the Bible says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. You're going to even be able to receive correction in your life and change. And you know what? That's going to speak to all these people around us. The influence of the righteous because of our godly character. Number two, righteous people are kind and generous people. Proverbs 21:26. Don't we need more kindness in this world and more generosity in this world? I know that we can become hardened, and I don't want to be. I've always fought that. You see the needs around you and you can become hardened, but don't do that. God will keep your heart soft if you allow him. It says in Proverbs 21:26, he coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Amen. A righteous man is generous. And look at 29 verse 7 about a righteous man. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. There it is. We must know. We must have a heart to meet the needs of the poor and the needy. Amen. And you know, this will not only affect your relationship with people, but it even affects your relationship with animals. Go to Proverbs 12 and verse 10. Proverbs 12, 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You know, we will be kind and generous even to our animals. The righteous are blessed in their home. Brethren, do you see the influence of the righteous? They will be kind and generous. They will have a godly character that affects people around them. But they're going to be blessed in their home. Go to Proverbs 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesseth what? The habitation of the just. Thank God for that, amen. How about chapter 14, let's go to chapter 12, verse 7 in order here. Chapter 12 and verse 7. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. How about 14:11? 14:11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And so God's going to bless our homes. God's going to bless our posterity. God's going to bless our children. I could go on and on and on in this point about the blessing of God upon our homes and upon our families. But let me end the message tonight. Last but not least, just so you know, our circle of influence. We're going to be blessed in our personal lives. We're going to be blessed in our relationships because of our character, our generosity, our kindness, our love, helping people. And we're going to be blessed in our homes. We have blessed families, blessed with our children, our grandchildren. Amen. God's going to bless us. And then we are blessed as citizens and as leaders. This is what our country needs. Righteous leaders. Righteous citizens. Go to chapter 11, verse 10. This is sad. You see the truth here. And you see what's going on. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. But look at 11. By the blessing of the upright is the city is exalted, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Listen, when we have wicked leaders, they overthrow our country. We need upright leaders, righteous leaders. 29:2. I think it's clear. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Amen. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Let me ask you, what is the poll of our country? Are the people mourning or are they rejoicing? Just read the reverse in it. Well, then who's leading? Because when God is on the throne and the righteous are bearing rule, God's going to bless. And God's going to bless the people. God's going to bless the nation. And the people are going to rejoice and be glad and blessed. Do you know what God warned the leaders here? Proverbs 20. These are things you would just like to say, you know what? Just give me 30 minutes to preach at the White House. Just give me 30 minutes out of the book of Proverbs. 20 and verse 8. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Verse 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. A wise king, a just king, a king that is upright, a king that is truly of judgment. What's he going to do? We know what they're going to do. They're going to enforce the laws, amen. They're going to do righteousness. They're going to punish wickedness and evil. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. It's an abomination. These things, abomination. When you read of an abomination in the Bible, when it was an abomination in the Old Testament, it's an abomination today. These are things that God hates. God, he doesn't change his attitude towards these things. It's still an abomination. It's still wicked. Do you remember why God cast out all those evil nations before Israel when they had to go into the land of Canaan? God cast them out because their sins were abominable, the Bible says. Isn't it sad? And we know we should learn from the book of Judges, should we not? There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Listen, when there's no authority, everyone's going to do their own wickedness. And that brings judgment. Sin is a reproach to any nation. And God will judge, just like he judged Israel, he judged. He will judge. You remember the Bible is very clear. God doesn't tolerate idolatry, does he, in a nation? God doesn't tolerate leaders who turn away from his law, who turn away from God's word and God's truth. Remember, you're reading through the kings. You have David, you have Josiah, you have Hezekiah. What happened to the nation when there was godly leaders and they ruled in righteousness and God's word? There were blessings. But then you read the northern tribe of Israel, or king tribes of Israel, and you see just all of them wicked kings. I mean, wicked, wicked, wicked Ahab and all the wickedness of these evil kings of the north. And what did that bring? Judgment all the time. Judgment. Let's go back to our text. When you now read this text, when you read our text in Proverbs 14:34, and now having considered some of the verses that we skimmed over tonight in the book of Proverbs, do you better understand this verse? Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is the truth. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just." How much more should we tremble today for our country? We need righteous parents to raise righteous children. We need righteous children out here to provide a righteous influence in our communities and in our nation. We live in a democracy where our leadership is elected, not inherited.
And so we, as God's people, ought to be on our face, ought to be on our knees, ought to be in the community, and we should have a righteous influence to affect these elections.
And what we heard tonight, we ought to pray. 1 Timothy 2 was written to the church. That's why we get on our knees. And I know every week we don't do it, but we do pray for our leaders. We do pray for our nation. We do pray for those in authority. Because this verse is still in the Bible, brethren, and it gives us hope. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God can still move on a man's heart. God can still save a soul. God can still change the direction of our nation. Brethren, we as a church are called to righteousness. As I mentioned, remember Matthew 5. We are the salt. We are the light of the earth. We are to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. What do they say? I don't want to go down there. Hypocrites are down there. Listen, we need to be righteous people. We need to be people of integrity. You know what integrity is? What's on the outside is the same, or what's on the inside is the same on the outside. Amen. You're real. You're sincere. You're truthful. You're honest. You are what you are. You say you are. Amen. Just think, if we were righteous as we should be as a church, I say church, church is, and we're spreading more light and we're being the salt that we need to be, there would be less decay and less darkness on this earth. Amen. So we have a job to do. We must be righteous people. We must live godly lives. We must raise a godly family. We must go out and win the lost. We must pray for those in authority. We need to look at our circle of influence, and we need to do what God called us to do. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's meditate on God's word tonight. God wants you to be righteous. Which path are you on? Which path are you on? Father, tonight as we bow before you, I pray for everyone that's here that we truly would be righteous people. If there be someone here tonight that has never been born again, they've never received the righteousness of Christ, which is by faith, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that tonight they will truly be born again and know that they are in a righteous standing before you, that they can understand true righteousness and walk the path of righteousness and have the influence of righteousness in this evil world, in our country. Father, we need righteous men and women in our country, in our leadership of our